This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Assalamu alaikum again to everyone, and if you're joining later, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you as well. So this is actually a very serious and heavy topic, not just because of the repercussions of, you know, what it means to not be safe online, but also because of the fear and anxiety that a lot of parents feel in this modern world, and specifically when it comes to social media and the internet, because it is something which is relatively new. You know, a lot of parents have not grown up with social media, they haven't grown up with the internet, and it is something that came, you know, possibly later on in their lives, and so it is unfamiliar. And the unfamiliar has a tendency to be scary. The unknown is scary. That's one of the things that, you know, when we don't know something, it can be frightening. And especially now, you know, we may not know and understand it well enough. And then we're seeing now the repercussions of it. And subhanAllah, you know, the studies that have been done when it comes to the internet and social media, first of all, we don't have a lot of information because the internet is not that old. So we don't have long-term studies on the true effects of the internet and social media on our lives. That's number two. But number two is that the studies that have been done are quite frightening. We are now learning the negative impact that social media has and the internet has in pretty much all aspects of our lives, all the way from our relationships, whether it be a spousal relationship, whether it be a relationship with our kids, whether it be our communal relationships, whatever, to our own well-being, and well-being all the way from, I mean, for us as Muslims, our spiritual well-being, the impact that social media has on our spiritual well-being. Honestly, that is a whole topic on its own and deserves time. And inshallah, if we have time, perhaps in another session, we can get into really the spiritual impact or the impact of social media and the internet on our spirituality, on our spiritual health. But the spiritual health, and then you have your emotional health, your psychological health. We are now seeing how the internet and social media is impacting people's mental health when it comes to, you know, their self-esteem, when it comes to issues like depression, just a wide range of issues we're now seeing. And the picture does not, honestly, the picture doesn't look good. And it, you know, as I said, you know, there's just so much going on, and it feels like we're a step behind. And I know, subhanAllah, I know every generation feels like they're a step behind. I know my parents and, you know, the previous generation, they felt like, you know, and I think this is indicative of every generation. Like every generation feels like, oh, this is a foreign world that we're living in right now, because technology does evolve and change quite rapidly. And, you know, that's just the nature of life. And so I don't think that should be something that we are, you know, that just brings us down, because This is normal. This is natural that we're going to feel like our kids are ahead of us, right? And our parents, I've heard that generation complain about how, you know, technology just ran away from them. Like they try to keep up, they try to, you know, catch up to it for the sake of their kids, but it just evolved so fastly that it ran away from them. And I know my generation, and I'm a parent myself, just to give you context about where I'm coming from. I have two children. I have a 7-year-old and a 3-year-old who is about to be 4. So, you know, you can say like a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old. And so for me, like it's my children are born into this world that we're living in. So as a parent, you know, once again, we may have that feeling. And I totally, completely, I can not just sympathize, but I can empathize with how parents feel. Even though I think I'm like, oh, I'm pretty young, I'm pretty hip or whatever, even though I'm a lot older than I look, you know, people always refer to me as like the young, you know, speaker or whatever. I'm like, if you knew my age, you would know I'm a lot older than people's perception, but whatever, it's a side point. But having kids of my own, and not only having kids of my own, but, you know, I would say added to that is the issue of I speak to a lot of parents. And I speak to kids, and I know that parents had, there is a lot of fear. There is a lot of anxiety when it comes to the world that we're living in. And I, you know, I just want to say that, you know, when we break this down, and one of my goals, inshallah ta'ala, is to relieve us of some of this fear and this anxiety. And not to say that it's easy or that, you know, I'm going to give you the solution to all your problems today. That's not going to happen. I don't have all the answers. But perhaps we can get this discussion started. Perhaps this is the beginning of our education when it comes to an issue like this. So let me get right into some of the main online problems and the main threats. And this is, I'm sure this is this, these are matters that you've come across, but just to contextualize our discussion today, three main threats or three main problems when it comes to children and being online, being on the internet. Number one is what is known as cyberbullying, right? And I'm sure some of you are familiar with this, but cyberbullying is any type of aggressive or threatening or mean-spirited activity that happens online that is aimed at a particular individual. And this can be, it can be, you know, it can be messages, it can be social media, it can be email, it can basically electronic communication where a person is basically being bullied. So instead of a person actually being bullied like face-to-face, it is happening online. And what we find now, and you know, what some of the stats are telling us now, some of the figures that we have, is that almost one third of children between the ages of 12 and 17 have been cyberbullied in their life. So that's, you know, a third, like 36%, almost a third of children have experienced themselves experienced some type of cyberbullying. And then what's interesting is, you know, and you have to keep in mind a lot of these studies that are done, they're survey based. And they're reliant on the information that people give up, right? So this is what people are willing to admit to. So it's not completely representative of the facts, but it just gives us an idea. 15% of children have, or of that age, have admitted to cyberbullying someone else, you know, online. Generally, girls are more of a target than boys, but boys tend to be bullies more than girls, right? So when it comes to, you know, receiving the bullying, the cyberbullying, it is generally girls who receive more. But when it comes to those who are bullies, more boys have admitted to being bullies than girls. So that's number one, cyberbullying. So when we're talking about, we want to protect our children, we want to protect them online. One of the things that we need to be conscious of, aware of, and start coming up with solutions is cyberbullying. Number two, is online predators. And basically an online predator is an adult or a grown-up who uses the internet to lure or entice children to exploit them, you know, to for abuse and so on and so forth. And this is something that I think, you know, we get so caught up in the third one that I'm going to mention, especially in the Muslim community, that this often gets left out. We sometimes don't think about this because from the Muslim perspective, you know, from the faith-based community perspective, we tend to think of, oh, I don't want my children looking at haram stuff online. And we may lose sight of, you know, the first two issues that I've mentioned right now. Number one, cyberbullying, right? And, you know, it starts with our attitude towards bullying in general. And, you know, some families, some households, bullying is not even a discussion that takes place because there's this attitude of, hey, if someone's being mean to you, just suck it up, right? Or like you got to be stronger than that, you know. Sticks and stones, right? Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can't hurt me. And we know now that's not true. People's lives are seriously impacted by verbal abuse, right? And online abuse is a big part of that. And then online predators, and especially I would say in the Muslim community, my impression is, and Allah knows best. I have not come across any official study, but anecdotal impression is that this almost does not get talked about in the community at all. And I think it's because it's an uncomfortable discussion. It's an uncomfortable topic, especially like sexual abuse and so on and so forth. We don't want to talk about it. But not talking about this problem doesn't mean the problem will disappear. And this is why, you know, a first step in addressing a problem is admitting that we have a problem, right? And definitely this is a problem. Cyberbullying and also online predators and just predators in general, this is definitely a problem. So some numbers for you. Children can be, this can start, someone being a victim to an online predator can start at a very, very young age. And there's no bottom actually age to this, right? So 1, 2, 3 years old, like it can start as very, very early. Just it can literally start as early as someone accesses the internet. So depending on what age a child accesses the internet, right? And some parents will give their children, they're 1 year old and they're handed an iPad or whatever. And I'm not assigning blame or shaming anyone here. I'm just stating what happens, right? So I'm not shaming anyone here. I'm just saying that's the reality. So 1, 2 years old, a parent may hand their child, a device that is connected to the internet. So they become susceptible now to an online predator at that very young age, all the way up till 17 years old. Generally, just like with cyberbullying, girls make up the majority of child victims. And actually, it's like 78%. It's a very high percentage that is girls rather than boys. On the other hand, online predators tend to be male. So around 80% of the predators themselves are male. And, it's hard to put a number on how many children have actually been victims, but they say it's a very high percentage of children have come across some type of a predator in some way because of, just how vast the internet is how many ways an online predator can have access to our children. It's hard to really, keep track of that. So number one, cyberbullying. Number two, online predators. And number three is what a lot of Muslim parents tend to focus on, and that is basically the haram stuff, right? So exposure to inappropriate stuff, inappropriate content. And this can, this is something which, yes, it is the most common one, but as I said, it's not the only one. It is the most common because, once again, accessing the internet is so very easy. And this is, inappropriate content can be language, it can be foul language or hate speech or, even bullying can come under this, or it can be images and videos and so on and so forth that, graphic images or violent images and so on and so forth. All of that comes under this third category of inappropriate, we're saying inappropriate content. Over 55% of kids in the early teens have been exposed to this type of content on the internet. Once again, take these numbers. They're not exact numbers because, once again, it's hard to tell exactly how often or how much this happens. But this just gives you like an idea, a ballpark. And nearly 60% have come across some type of sexually explicit words or images on the internet. So these are the three main areas of danger when it comes to, our kids being online. And even as I'm saying this, once again, I want to go back to the issue of anxiety. And so, there's a lot of fear. There's a lot of anxiety. We're worried. But before we get into some of what we should be doing, I just want to remind everyone, and this is general advice for parenting, and it is also specific to what we are talking about today. We have to remember that we can only do so much. And we have to remember that in the end of the day, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is in charge. So as a parent, our responsibility is to do our best and leave the result upon Allah, rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why our faith becomes so very, very important. No matter what we do, as parents, we cannot control everything. And yes, some parents try to do that, and it often causes more damage than good when they try to control every aspect of their children's lives. And trust me, as someone who has not only been a teenager myself, but someone who is constantly talking to teenagers and constantly talking to parents who are dealing with troubled teenagers, that approach of trying to control their whole world is not an effective approach, right? So that doesn't work. And we're going to talk about some solutions, right? So what does work or what can work? But definitely just shutting off everything is not the solution. So the parenting rule, the general parenting rule of do your best and rely upon Allah applies here as well. In the end of the day, the guidance of our children is not in our hands. All we can do is point them in the right direction, make sure they're educated, make sure they have enough information. But in the end of the day, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is in charge. Even the prophets, alayhim as-salatu was-salam, could not make sure that their loved ones are guided. And that should, wake us up, because even the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the best of creation, the best of the prophets, the one who is closest to Allah could not make someone be guided. Innaka, as Allah says, innaka la tahdi man ahbabt. You can't guide those whom you love, meaning you cannot force their guidance. Walakinna Allaha yahdi man yasha. Rather, it is Allah who guides whomever He wills. But the Prophet ﷺ did do his best. He did provide the knowledge and the information and gave tarbiyah, but the results are left to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have examples of other prophets as well. The Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. Nuh alayhi salam could not make sure his own son was guided, right? And he was a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is a little bit of a reality check for us, right? So once again, if our answer is, you know what, if there's bad stuff on the internet, let me just turn off the internet, that's not a solution. Because maybe, subhanAllah, we may be able to cut off our children from the internet for a certain amount of time, right? So when they are younger, right? Maybe when they're 2, 3, 4. And I want to stop at 4 because at some point they're going to go to school. At some point, they're going to be out of your house, and therefore you don't have full control over what they're doing, right? So when a child starts kindergarten, when they start first grade, right, automatically now there are things that are out of your control. Even in our own household, subhanAllah, things are out of our control if we really think about it, because it's not just in us in the house. It could be an older sibling, could be cousins, it could be even in our own house. When we try to control everything, if that is our solution, it's not a solution. It's not going to work. But as I said, as soon as they go to school, now they're talking to other kids. Maybe you have said to your kids, no devices, no internet, no nothing. But what about when their friends, they're hanging out with their friends, or they're in school with their friends, and let alone, subhanAllah, now a lot of schools, they require devices, right? Where they'll say, you know, your child needs a device because a lot of schoolwork is done on the device. Like, what do we do then, right? So what happens at that point? So once again, if that is our, we really have to understand that that approach is not an effective approach. For a certain time, for a certain amount of time, it may work, but that's not an effective long-term strategy. So if you came today hoping that I will give you, I will tell you how to block everything online, I don't have that information for you. To begin with, I'm not an IT person. So you're asking the wrong person in terms of like, how do I block these websites, or how can I block haram websites, and you know, what do I have to, I don't know. You know, I ask myself, if I have that question, I'll go to an expert, you know, a computer expert, IT person, and say, okay, how do I block this and that? I don't have that information, right? So that's not why I'm here today. What I'm here to talk about today is practical ways to guide our kids. And that is really, you know, the key word for today really is tarbiyah, right? Is guidance, upbringing, and education. Now, right off the bat, that means that we cannot be passive. We cannot, and this is why sometimes I think simply blocking and forbidding things is the easy way out, because we think we can just turn off the internet and we don't have to do anything else, right? But on the other hand, actually giving our kids tarbiyah, educating them, teaching them why this is wrong, why this is right, educating them about the dangers, educating them about the problems, like why you can't watch this stuff, why you should not be on this social media app, or what the problems are, that takes work. It takes effort. It means that we need to spend time with our kids. It means that we need to have conversations with our kids. And that is much harder than just saying, you know what, this is haram, the internet is haram, like we cannot be on the internet, no social media or whatever. And it's much more difficult. So once again, you know, simply hiding them, not only is it as I said, it's not a long-term solution from us. If your goal is to keep your kids 100% sheltered from everything bad, then remember, you're always going to be a step behind them. As I spoke about earlier, you know, there's going to come a point where they simply know more than you, right? They're going to know how to access things that you don't know how to access, or you don't know how to block, right? And once again, if you don't believe me, talk to your parents. Your parents will tell you technology ran away from us. Why do we think that we are different? That we're always going to know how to block the haram stuff, right? And we're always going to have control over our kids. We're going to know, you know, and oftentimes parents tell their kids, and I'm a parent myself, I said this to my children too, right? Like, you think you're really smart, but I'm your dad, right? And it's true. In this age, it's true. Like, you know, I can tell if my child is not telling me the truth, I know. if he's hiding something from me, I know by the way he talks, by the way, you know, just the inflection in his voice, I know, because I know him. But I also know there's going to come an age where I may not be able to tell. There's going to come an age where I won't be able to have access to everything he does. I won't be able to control that. I won't be able to control his time online. I won't be able to control how he is on the internet. And at that time, the lessons that I taught him and the tarbiyah that I gave him and the conversations that we had, the heart-to-heart conversations that I had, are going to be far more effective. And also what's going to be important is, will my child, and this is actually one of the things I was going to mention at the end, but I'll mention it now and perhaps we'll repeat it at the end. What's going to be important at that time is, will my child come to me when they face a problem, right? So we're talking about cyberbullying, we're talking about online predators. What we want is that our child comes to us when something's fishy, when something's not normal, when something's making them uncomfortable, that they're able to come to us. If we've told them, hey, everything is haram, you cannot do this, we don't want to put them in a position where they're afraid to talk to us, and la qadar Allah, they're being bullied, or la qadar Allah, may Allah protect us, protect our children, that there is some type of abuse that is taking place. So fear, putting fear, instilling fear into our children, once again, and I know, like, I sound like a broken record now, it's not a good long-term solution. And as I said, even just cutting them off, it'll work for a certain amount of time, but it's not going to work forever. So what do? We must give them guidelines and we must connect them with a higher purpose. So number one, teach them, give them guidelines, give them tarbiyah, and also connect them with a higher purpose. And for us as Muslims, that means their spirituality should be strong and we should be trying to strengthen their spirituality, strengthen their faith. Because even when you're not there, their faith will be there. In the moments where you're not there to check on them and to make sure they're doing, you know, and this doesn't just apply to social media, it applies to the rest of the world. It applies to sins, other sins that our children will come, and I say will, not that they may come across, they will come across sins. There's nowhere, and I don't care where you are right now, you can be sitting in a country that is majority Muslim right now and say, we have amazing community, nobody does anything haram, whatever. There's no such thing. There's no utopia on earth today. Doesn't matter where you live in the world, children will come across things that are wrong and bad, and they will come across sinful behavior and all that kind of, it's going to happen. But spirituality and faith means that even if we're not there, they know that Allah is there, and they know that their responsibility is actually not to us as parents. Their responsibility is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to teach them the greatness of Allah rather than our own greatness, right? Any greatness that we have, we need to teach them, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why the taqwa of Allah, being conscious of Allah, that is what we need to instill. And once again, that's not an easy answer. That's not an issue of, you know what? No, you know, we just make them the perfect Muslim, that doesn't exist. But once again, it requires effort from our end, and this is a continual process. So more important than blocking objectionable material from them is teaching our kids, giving them guidelines, giving them tarbiyah, teaching kids safe and responsible online behavior. And along what comes along with that at a younger age is keeping an eye on what they have access to. Once again, not saying it's all haram, but having a relationship with their online life. And I'm going to talk about this in a little bit, inshallah ta'ala. That be part of the process with them. And as I said, our faith and spirituality, second big component. But as I just mentioned, take the journey with your kids. They're going to be online, right? And let's just, as I said, we need to accept that reality that at some point they're going to be, even if you've forbidden it in your household for now, there's going to be a point that they're going to be online. Isn't it better that we take that journey with them? So from a young age, that when they're online, we are online with them and we sit with them. And if we're going to do stuff online, we sit with them and we can walk them through what is good and what is not good. Why is this not good? Why is this harmful to us? As a side note, subhanAllah, I know the big elephant in the room in this whole discussion today is pornography. I have a whole lecture I gave on pornography. It's actually available online. It's called like The Dangers of Pornography, or how pornography leads to addiction. One of that, I gave a long, I think it's like an hour and a half, 2 hour long talk on pornography. and the dangers of pornography. And the reason I gave that talk is not for young people, actually. It wasn't to tell young people, hey, look, man, like this is why pornography is bad. About it was honestly to educate parents so they can talk to their kids. Not that, hey, this is haram and this is, you know, it's so bad, and to shame their kids. Instead of shaming our kids, rather it should be that we're educating our kids and say, look, if you view pornography, this is what can happen to you. This is how it affects your life. This is how it can destroy your life. It can lead to addiction and all these other problems. This is what we don't want. And this is why pornography is so, so dangerous for you. And this is why it's better that you stay away from it. You're going to come across it. And all kids at some point, may Allah protect us, but the reality is just keeping it real. Hashtag real talk, right? It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's not always, things are not always, as I said, it's not in our control. But when it happens, are they thinking of, you know what? My parents talk to me about how this can destroy my life. And so, you know what? Maybe just, I don't want to do it again, or, you know, just keep away from it. Or best case scenario is let me go talk to my mom and my dad. Because, you know, someone showed it to me and I don't know what to do. Let me get advice from my parent. And in order for that to happen, they need to be comfortable speaking to us. If we're always yelling at them and getting upset at them and just shaming them for everything bad that they do, they're not going to want to talk to us, right? And so that, once again, it's a much bigger problem. We want to keep those doors of communication over. That doesn't mean that we don't set rules and boundaries for them. It is important. I'm going to talk about some of the boundaries that we set for our kids, but it means that it shouldn't always be that we come down with a hammer. It's very harsh. We're always yelling. We're always mad, or we're shaming them, right? We need to tell them, once again, it is about their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and having them live their lives for a higher purpose. So spend time online together with your kids so you can practically teach them what is appropriate and what is inappropriate. Now, that leads us to another elephant in the room, which is that the rules cannot be different for you when it comes to these issues. So you cannot say it's okay for me to view these things, but it's not okay for you. Certain things, yes, it's okay. If there's certain topics that simply they're not at a mental age to process that information, that's fine, right? But there are certain things that are, if they're haram for them, they're haram for us. If it's things of like, okay, witnessing, you know, what's on the type of imagery, yes, they're at a young age, but just that because of their young and tender age, it can have an impact on them. And so that's different. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about if it's things that are otherwise haram for us, haram for them, it's got to be the same rules. Because as always, another, you know, golden rule when it comes to parenting, as I said, the first golden rule is do your best and rely upon Allah. Another golden rule is our children learn more from what we do than what we say, right? We can talk and talk and talk and talk all day long, but our actions are going to have a far greater impact on them than what we say. Not actions as in like, hey, I'm punishing you. That's not what I mean by that. I mean our own personal actions. Are we living up to these standards? And children are very perceptive, subhanAllah, very perceptive. They can tell whether you truly believe in what you're saying or not. And they can tell because are you doing it, right? So I'll just give you a very clear example of this. Tell your children, pray your salah, right? Pray all your prayers. But they don't see you praying. Even in a small child's mind, they know, maybe not consciously, but on a subconscious level, they know you obviously don't think salah is that important because you're not doing it. Even if you yell at them and tell them to do it. This is why Sunday school parenting is honestly problematic. It's problematic in the sense that, and what I mean by Sunday school parenting, if you haven't heard this before, and I apologize, I don't mean that to be offensive to anyone in any way. And sometimes these terminologies can be offensive, right? But just to, for you to understand what I'm talking about, Sunday school parenting is when a parent thinks I have no responsibility towards raising my children in their faith. And teaching them what is good and bad, the Sunday school will take care of it. So those 4 hours or 2 hours on Sunday, when they go to the masjid, then, you know, the people at the masjid, they'll teach them what's right and wrong. But for me, like, I don't have to do anything else. That approach does not work. Obviously, any amount of good is good. I'm not discouraging. And this is why I wanted to be very careful. You know, when you say a term like that, Sunday school parenting, I want to be very clear. A parent who does nothing and only sends their kid to Sunday school is better than a parent who does nothing and also doesn't send them to Sunday school. So I want to be very clear about that. At least they're sending their kids to Sunday school. Alhamdulillah, that's great. But we also need to be aware that Sunday school on its own is not enough. And so it's to encourage ourselves to say, look, if we're sending to Sunday school, what they learn in Sunday school needs to match up with what they see in their home. And especially, you know, if we are telling them things, it needs to match up with our own behavior. And that also means that we need to teach our kids. And sometimes parents don't like that because they're like, I'm not perfect. Does that mean I cannot teach my children what's good? No, you teach your kids what is good, what is bad. And you teach them that you're not perfect as well. What that means is that when you make a mistake, you tell your child, I made a mistake. So something's haram for you, it's haram for me. If I'm doing it, and you tell your child, you know what, I did this thing, and it's actually haram for me as well, so I shouldn't be doing it. And if it comes to, you know, treatment, parents should learn to apologize to their kids. If they want their kids to apologize to them, they have to, it's a learned behavior. You have to learn that to humble, because apology is about humbling yourself, right? Some parents have a very difficult time apologizing to their kids. They're like, I'm the parent, I'm the mom, I'm the dad. Why would I apologize to my child? And what the child learns is that if you apologize, you've taken a lesser position. And therefore, some children have a difficult time. They don't learn to apologize because they've never seen their parents apologize. Or they've never seen, you know, let alone, subhanAllah, parent apologizing to a child. Some children have never seen their dad apologize to their mom. And that, what are we teaching our kids, Yani? That yani, there's no human being who can say, I've never had the need to apologize to anyone. What you're saying is, yani, you're perfect. You've never made a mistake. You've never committed a sin. Yani, you're an angel. And we're not angels, right? That's not who we are as human beings. We all commit sins. We all make mistakes. A person who says, I will never apologize because I've never made a mistake, they're deluding themselves. They're delusional, because that's not, yani, that's, once again, it's part of arrogance. It's actually one of the traits of the shaytan. The shaytan, Allah gave him a chance to actually apologize, to make tawbah. Allah questioned him, why didn't you prostrate to Adam? Allah gave him a chance to repent. And he doubled down. He became arrogant. Ana khayrun min. I'm better than him. I've been created from fire. He's been created from clay, and so on and so forth. That downward spiral that the shaytan took, it's a lesson for us, right? As parents, you know, specifically, that we don't want to become arrogant and take on that mentality with our children. Our children, if we want our children, once again, anything you want, golden rule, anything you want from your children, you have to have in yourself, or you have to at least try to develop in yourself. And sometimes it can be a very honest and open discussion. Like, you can tell your kids, like, look, these types of movies are haram. I'm trying to quit them as well. Especially when it comes to teenagers and older kids, right? Because then it should be an open discussion. It should be an honest, open discussion. Teenagers are not taking anything from nobody. You're not fooling teenagers about anything, right? They will call you out. And if they don't call you out because they're afraid of you, they'll call you out in their head. They're thinking, yeah, my mom told me this is haram, but my mom does it. My dad told me this is haram, but my dad does it. So we're not fooling teenagers. Teenagers, so it opens the door for an honest and open discussion. We can tell our kids, you know what? I'm struggling with this as well. You know what? I tell you, as a teenager, I tell you, get off your phone. And I'm on my phone. I'm struggling with this as well. How do we help each other? Let's create an environment in the household where I'm spending less time on my phone and you're spending less time on your phone as well, right? Instead of subhanAllah, rationalizing and justifying our own behavior, and then, you know, not giving our children that same leeway and saying, no, you have to do this, but I don't have to do this. So once again, key point, take the journey with your kids. That's one of the main issues. I think if there's one takeaway from today, inshallah ta'ala, is that we cannot look at this as a set of rules. We have to look at this as a journey. And this is a journey that we want to take with our children. And I will reiterate this. I'll say it again. That allows us to grow with our children. Sometimes our children can make us better Muslims and better human beings. Because through them, we give ourselves tarbiyah. Right. And that only happens when we're willing to humble ourselves and say, if I'm giving my child this advice, I want also this advice for myself as well. And it's a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's a blessing from Allah that our children can make us better and better Muslims and better human beings, because we care about them and we know that we have to up our game. And I know parents that have testified to this. And I know parents that have said, before I had children, I didn't care about anything. But when I had children, I started thinking about, okay, I'm responsible now for my kids. If I want my child to be like this, I have to be like this. And they found themselves becoming better Muslims simply because of the fact that they started educating themselves. When my child comes and says, how do we know Islam is the truth? What am I going to say to them? Do I have an answer for them? Am I going to say, no, you have to believe in Islam. That's it. That's not an answer, right? So they have to educate themselves, and through educating themselves about their faith, about their deen, they became closer to Allah, and they were able to pass that down to their kids. So that's the big issue here. Other than that, and this depends on age, once again, it's important that we share in this responsibility. We have an open relationship. And that also means when it comes to like devices and things like that, you know, at a younger age, we should have common areas in the house. So, you know, we shouldn't hand them an iPad and say, and this, I know a lot of parents understand this, right? And go use it in your room or whatever. You want to use your iPad? Best thing would be, let's use it together, right? Oh, what are you watching? What are you doing? You're playing a game? Like, tell me what this game is. You know, do that with them. And if you can't do it, at least that they're using it in a common area. And being in that with them. So taking interest in what they're doing. And I know it's hard. It's not always easy. I look at some of the things that my younger one is still young, right? My older child, some of the stuff that he's into, I'm really not into. And my instinct, my gut instinct is to say, like, man, I don't care about this. Like, you're into this thing. Like, I don't care about it. But you really got to force yourself. Like, look, if you don't show interest in their interests, then how do you expect to guide them in terms of what's right and what's wrong? So sometimes we have to get out of our own, you know, likes and dislikes and think about our children. So have these conversations with your children, take that journey with them so you can talk about stuff. You know, an ideal situation would be you're watching something together and something comes up. And then you can pause it, or you can later on, you know, sit down with your child and say, you know, today we were watching this and this issue came up. What do you think about it? And, you know, actually our deen teaches us that this is wrong and we shouldn't be like that. And, you know, even though, you know, this is found in a lot of TV shows today, this is found in a lot of movies today, our faith teaches us that this is wrong. And I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, right? This is in every media right now. Everyone is saying this, but no, our faith teaches us to have that. Okay, why is it wrong? You know, having that discussion with our kids, having those open conversations. Along with that, I will add to that, subhanAllah, is building a network with other parents. So our kids don't exist in a vacuum, right? Their world is you know, also depending on the age, but at least you know, once they start going to school, their world becomes bigger than just us, just the house. So we need to look at that world and say, what is in that world? Well, they're friends, and their friends come from a household, they come from a culture, they come from you know, if they go to Islamic school, even if their friends are Muslim, they may have in their household their own rules. So network with other parents and say, hey, how much screen time do you allow for your kids? Are your kids allowed to do this? Are they allowed to do this? Number one, you can be on the same page. It's a united front, and that's the ideal situation where your child says, you know, and I'm sure a lot of parents, especially younger parents, you've heard your kids say this. Why can't I do this? My friend, I don't know, Hamza, or, you know, Abdullah, or whoever, or Ahmed, or, you know, Sumayya, she does it. Her parents say it's okay. Why can't I do it? And I know we say, you know what? Doesn't matter what they say. I'm your parent. And that's okay as well. We also need to teach our kids that not everyone is the same. We need to teach our kids that even within Islam, people have different opinions. That's just the reality of the world we live in. So maybe in their house, they think it's okay. But in our house, we don't think it's okay. Right? Or and even the other way, subhanAllah, some people will tell their kids this is not okay and we don't have a problem with it. But we should talk to our kids about, look, we need to respect other people's rules, right? If in their household they don't want to do it, I don't want you doing this with him. There's a particular game, for example, I allowed my kid to play it, but his friend doesn't. Their parents have spoken to me and they said, we don't allow our kids to play it. We should have the respect to say to our kid, like, look, that his parents don't allow him to play it, so don't play that game with him. Don't show it to him. Don't try to get him to play that game with you. So it works both ways. Rules are different, but ideally a united front is amazing when all the parents can get together and say, look, this is what we do. Think about, subhanAllah, just the idea, something very simple. It's time for salah and you need to turn off your device and pray salah. And this is all firsthand experience, by the way. You know, so my child, he may be on you know a device and playing with a friend. You know, people play online games now, not online games. And I'm not cool with online games because it's just online is just so vague and just other people. But I allow my child to play with other kids, just them too, not just random people. So if they're playing with somebody, right? And obviously I'm monitoring it. It's happening once again in the common room. And we've talked about this game before, all that other stuff that I talked about. And they're playing that game. Yalla, it's time for Salah. And then their parent says, yeah, it's time for Salah. You guys need a khalas. You need to now turn it off. It's a beautiful, you're teaching your kids that Salah takes priority, right? And it happened. I do it. My friend does it. Alhamdulillah, that's a united front. So that's keeping that united, networking with our children's friends in their social circle, not just our own social circle. We also need to teach our kids, once again, as I said, not every household is the same. We have certain guidelines and rules in our household. We got to follow the rules. You have to have some basic rules in our household. These rules should be followed, right? So whether it's for example, it could be a time restriction, a day restriction. Some parents say, like, on the weekdays, no video games, no whatever, only on the weekends, okay? That's our household rule. Another household, as I mentioned, the screen has to be in the common area. I have to be able to see your screen when you're on the screen. That's a rule. We have to follow the rules, right? And once again, when you take part in it as well, alhamdulillah, that reinforces that. In terms of safety and security, some ground rules that I think every parent should have is we never send, you know, especially at a younger age, I'm not really talking about teens here and older, that's a different age, but especially underneath that, less than that, we never send pictures online, right? Your friend says, send me a picture or whatever. We never share pictures online. We never trade pictures. We never send pictures. We never give out any personal information online. Like, these are hard and fast rules. Your address, your phone number, your school, your whatever. You want to talk about it, you talk about it in person. We don't talk about this online. Oh, I'm just talking to my friend on FaceTime or whatever. No, that's information on an electronic device. We do not share that information. Passwords, logins. These are things we never, ever, ever share. We never speak to someone online. These are rules we teach our kids. We never speak to someone online that our parent doesn't know about, right? Someone new that our parent hasn't met, they don't know about. We never speak to anyone like that online. We never agree to plans without our parents' approval or without them knowing, right? What happens is sometimes kids will, subhanAllah, agree to, hey, well, even at a young age, let's go to the park this weekend. And they make a plan together without speaking to the parents, and the parents come and say, no, we're not available this weekend. But we don't want to teach our kids that they have that ability to make plans, because they may end up doing things, and it may end up teaching them that they're allowed to do things without their, and I'm talking about a young age here, without their parents' approval. And this opens the door for, you know, online predators and so on and so forth, that type of communication and making plans, it has to involve the parents. We need to have that open door of communication that I was speaking about earlier. Anything that makes you uncomfortable, please come speak to me. I'm not going to get mad. I'm not going to get upset. I'm not going to yell at you. If someone said something mean, someone showed you something that was weird, that was odd, come tell me. And so we are a source of comfort. We are a shelter for our kids rather than a prison, right? And there's a difference, that we are a place of refuge, not a prison for them. So they're comfortable coming to us with those issues. In the teen years, and I know, subhanAllah, please forgive me, honestly, teenagers and social media online deserves a whole nother talk. Some advice that I will give here is that as children get into their teenage years, it becomes more challenging. And that's a reality that all parents need to accept, that teenage years will be more challenging. Obviously, there's exceptions, but most teenagers, life becomes challenging, right? Parenting can become more challenging. Now, simply the fact that many parents will give their children a smartphone in those teenage years. Once again, no judgment here. That's a call that each parent makes for themselves, right? But when that happens, we need to be aware that the challenges also increase, because now they have private access to a whole world that we may not be able to monitor like we were monitoring them at a younger age. And also in teenage years, there is a natural need for privacy, because to a teenage mind, privacy means autonomy. Autonomy means that I am becoming an adult. I'm becoming my own person. I want my freedom. That's just a teenage way, right? You want to be free. We need to respect that in the sense that we need to allow for it to a certain degree so that we don't completely cut them off. We also don't want to give them free rein and say, because you're a teenager, like, go do whatever you want. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that there needs to be a balance because we need to understand that they do have the need now to be their own person, right? So we cannot restrict them from everything, but open communication, right? And hopefully the work we've put in before the teenage years will pay off now, and understand they are going to do things that are bad, right? It's going to happen, but it's how they react, or they're going to be exposed to things that are bad, but it's how they react to what they're exposed to, what they come across. So yes, we want to give them a certain level of autonomy. We need to give them a certain level of privacy, but not, you know, say, okay, it's just complete privacy. I'm never going to look at your phone or whatever. There needs to be some balance there. And, you know, there's no one clear answer to this. There's no one clear guideline, because every child is different. Every household is different. Every tarbiyah that has been given to a child is different. So the way I have talked to my children growing up may be different than how you talk to your children growing up. So, and even between children, this can happen. A parent may say, with this child of mine, they're more responsible. And so I can give them a little bit more, like I trust them more a little bit, right? Because I know, you know, just because of how they are. This one, you know, I'm a little bit more, I try to watch them a little bit more because they haven't developed that level of maturity yet where I can fully say, okay, you know what, I trust them to make the right decision. Once again, not complete control, but the level of autonomy we give our children. But once again, just like with younger kids, hopefully it's been happening with teenagers, that conversation and discussion needs to continually take place. So what we need to talk about what they're doing. We need to talk about the dangers of what they're doing. The most, and this is key, as I said earlier, taking an active role in the lives of our children. And so when we see something, we talk about the dangers of it. We talk about the problems. We talk about, you know, once again, certain things we don't share with people even at a teenage years or whatever it may be. And I know I've kind of gone over my time here, so I'm gonna come to an end, inshallah. The most important thing, okay, so let's just say that the takeaway from today, if you haven't been paying attention so far, this is the time. Talk to your kids, or rather I should say, talk with your kids, speak with your kids, keep an open line of communication so that they feel comfortable turning to you when problems occur, because, you know, depending on either three categories that I mentioned earlier, there is going to be a problem at some point, even if it's not Allah protect us, not cyberbullying, it's not online predators, but coming across inappropriate content, it is going to happen. I'm telling you right now, it is going to happen. We want them to be able to come to us when it happens. And we put our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we remind ourselves that it is Allah in control. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam.